It is a real joy to be with you here in the States, and especially here in the Lehigh Valley area. And I know I've been in a number of the buildings over the years, and it's wonderful to see the progress and to rejoice in what God has been doing. And as we say back in Ulster, the best is yet to be. I want to give just a brief update on the work that I do, the work that I'm involved in. As our brother has said, I work under our mission board at home as a missionary to the addicted. Right away, you will know that is not an easy work. But then again, none of the Lord's work is easy. Souls are not easily won to the Lord. And of course, the devil wants to keep a grip. He doesn't want to let them go. And we're praying that the Lord will have mercy and snap the fetters, break the chains, and set many people wondrously free. Can I just say that it is a delight to serve the Lord. There is no greater privilege than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And whilst it is our duty, and it is our responsibility, as God's people, we have this obligation, this mandate, that the Lord commissioned His church, that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to be that light, that salt. We are to reach out to men and women. And yet, whilst it is our responsibility, praise God, it is our privilege. And there is no greater privilege than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that for many people in the world, their attitude towards those who are caught in addiction is, well, they've made their bed, let them lie in it. In other words, they've chosen to go down that pathway. You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. They've just got to come to their senses themselves. And that's the attitude the world will take. I am glad the Lord does not deal with us that way. I'm glad that the Lord just doesn't leave us in our sin, but that the Lord has sought us out. And I'm glad that the Lord is compassionate, tender-hearted, loving kindness is something that is extended to men and women. It is a great privilege to serve the Lord. We've seen wonderful things over the years. People coming to Christ, those who were in deep-dive drug addiction. Back home, we have all the drugs that you have here. Well, maybe not just as many, but we certainly have all sorts of varieties of drugs. And of late, the heroin problem, the Oxycontin, Oxycodone, the fentanyl, those are all those opiate-based drugs have come to the fore. But we have the joy of seeing people coming to Christ and walking in that newness of life. And it's wonderful to see somebody see you, to see them completely transformed. Now, here's the reality. We cannot change them, but Christ is able to. And so it's a matter of bringing Christ to those individuals. Could I ask you to pray for those people that we work with, that the Lord will continue to work in their hearts and lives? One of the lads, just recently, I met Matthew just before Christmas, just before in December last year. And at that time, he had a very serious cocaine problem. To cut a long story short, as we say back home, I ended up sending Matthew over to a program here, and he completed that six-month program. He is doing exceptionally well. I mean, he really loves the Lord. He just loves the Lord Jesus. And one of the things I really like about the men, and especially the home down in Dublin, is they're not afraid to tell you or ashamed to stare backward and saying, you know what, brother, I love you, praying for you. And I just love you in the Lord. And, you know, they have such affection. And pray for Matthew. The Lord will continue to bless. He's now working down in the home in Dublin. Dublin is roughly 2 hours from where I live. And I go down to the program there. There's a men's home that a friend of mine runs. Leighton Kelly was a drug addict. He was a heroin addict. He got converted. He's now running that program. All the staff are all converted addicts. And it's a good program, authorized version only, good standards, and we have great fellowship with them. And I actually go down, I do some of the sleepovers, do classes in the home, teaching the men. There's a lot to the ministry. But I have two men there at the minute who are doing really well. and we're thankful for what the Lord has been doing in hearts and in lives. So there are great delights, but there are also, of course, there are difficulties in the work. And I can tell you, when things go well in this ministry, they go really well. When they go wrong, you really feel it. In fact, when things go wrong, it usually ends up with someone overdosing or maybe even dying. We just look to the Lord for grace, for help. There are great disappointments. You know, you think of the time that you give to people, you put into people. You're investing in lives. But here's the reality. Whilst we are humanly disappointed, what we do for the Lord. And we do it under Christ. And therefore, in that aspect, we're not disappointed in Him. And the Lord is no disappointment. And though you labor and you work and you toil and you give and sometimes even invest years into somebody's life, only to see them turn aside and go back to the things of the world, that is a disappointment. But like David, you encourage yourself in the Lord. And you recognize that God is able to deal with them and in time bring them to Himself. So we rejoice in what God has been doing. There are demands in the work, and I'm just going to close off here just with these thoughts, but the demands are such that whenever someone contacts me looking for help, let's say for instance it's a Christian family, maybe even a Free Presbyterian family, and they're looking help with a son or daughter in addiction, they're not looking help tomorrow or next week, they're looking help immediately. And so there are those demands that are placed upon you. I always try to prioritize in the sense of going as suitably and quickly as possible to the family to help them. And that will, of course, be to give advice. I always encourage families, mothers and fathers, always to seek pastoral advice. That's very important. That's something that I stress, and I would stress to you all here. When it comes to these sorts of issues, whilst it's good to have someone who has the addiction background and knowledge, it's really important to have your pastor, to have your minister dealing and supporting and helping, because I can't do that. And I always encourage them. And of course, we desire in this ministry and in this work that the Lord would be glorified. Now, just as I close here, just these thoughts. Of late, I've been going around the local communities, the neighbourhoods, giving out invites. What we do is we generally go out, you concerned about drugs in your community, and then it talks a little bit about the problem. Are you concerned parents, someone struggling with addiction? Hope is real, help is available. What we actually do is I go into a neighbourhood, knock every single door, and we talk to people. The first rule of fishing is you go to where the fish are. So we go out, and knock the door, speak to people, encourage them to come to a meeting. In that meeting, we'll have testimonies, we'll have advice and help and support. And it's basically a bridge of reaching out into the community. And of course, the desire and the goal is to see people come to know the Lord. This was an invite that was given out last year in Ballymena, the answer to addiction. I want to take that theme this morning. But the answer to addiction meeting went extremely well in our local town hall through our Ballymena church, Reverend John Greer. We had, I think, around about 300 people come in, and a lot of people in addiction come in, even not only addicts, but even those who deal drugs and even supply drugs come in. And that night we had amazing testimonies on what God was doing. Reverend Hamilton actually knows one of the men who gave his testimony that night. He remembered the time that we went out with Nicky, spent time with one of the lads, went back to his flat, and over a 17-year period, he worked with Nicky in bringing him the gospel. And he's now doing well. He's not only saved, but he's walking with the Lord. He's in our church in Macrafelt. He's got a full-time job and has been completely away from drugs, I think, around about 3 years. So the Lord has really been working in his heart and in his life. And we pray, Lord, do it again and again. So it's a privilege and a blessing to be here today. So thank you for having me along. And I do trust that the Lord will pour out of His Spirit upon us. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, turning to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and the words here of verse 32 and verse 36, how relevant whenever we think about addiction and the complex needs that there are. Verse 32, I think as we read verse 32, it'd be especially important to read verse 31 to have it in its context. Verse 31 then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. And how important that is to continue in the word. Then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Let's just bow briefly and momentarily in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy, Thy goodness and grace that has triumphed in our hearts and lives. We praise Thee that here we are today in Thy house, the Lord's day, seated, clothed in a right mind, and it's all because of Calvary. Lord, we acknowledge that we are just sinners saved by the grace of God. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And our gracious God and Father, we pray that Thou wilt lead us on and through with Thyself. May there be those new heights, new depths, a new breadth to knowing Christ. And our Father, we pray that we will ever be diligent students of Thy precious Word. May we continually grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray for each one who is abiding in Thy presence, that collectively and yet individually we will know and experience the rich blessing of the triune God of heaven. Father, we want to thank Thee for all that we possess in Christ. We rejoice today that Thou hast set us free. And Lord, yet we recognize and realize that there are so many others who are held and bound and fettered in the bonds of addiction. And we cry to Thee to set men free. Hear and answer prayer, we ask in Thy name. Amen. And amen. We've been thinking already a little bit about addiction. And as I mentioned, many of the, sadly, substances, whether that's prescription abuse drugs, whatever, are now prevalent in our own land in Ulster as well. Whenever we hear or we think of the term addiction, I wonder what are the first words that come to your mind. Addiction, what does it mean? Usually when we think of addiction, we think of that which is wasteful, harmful, destructive. We look at it in a very negative sense, and oftentimes it is. You think of the hurt, and you think of the harm that is caused through addiction. Whether that is addiction to prescription drugs, to illegal substances, whether it is addiction to gambling, and how many a person has lost literally everything through gambling, or some other worldly vice, we would have to say that addiction itself is very hurtful. Comes in many forms. And whenever we consider addiction, there is such a thing as a helpful, holy addiction. Now, if you're looking for the word drugs in the Word of God, you won't find it. We have the word pharmakia, and especially over in Galatians 5:22, it's linked in with witchcraft. And that's because drugs and spell-giving potions often go hand in hand. There is a sinister, dark side to that. But whenever we think of addiction, if you'd like to just turn with me briefly, 1 Corinthians and the chapter 16. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, we read about the house of Stephanas. And here, reading about this household, this family, Paul here writing, speaking about this family, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They had addicted themselves. That word addicted can be translated as determined, appointed, or ordained. In other words, it means to set in order, to determine to do something. You determine to do something. And here was a family who were determined to do something for God. They were determined to make a difference in the lives of others. And here, reading about this family, we'll consider them a little later, but they certainly were wonderfully converted and transformed by the grace of God, but now they are serving and reaching out to others and making a difference in so many lives. The term addiction, often associated, as I say, with sinful worldly vices, drink, drugs, whatever it may be. But as we'll see today, there are so many other issues in relation to addiction. I want us to consider the answer to addiction. What is the answer? Well, first of all, we have the reality of addiction. And as I said already, we think about addiction. You and I tend to think somebody who is an addict is someone who is taken over by drug abuse, by alcohol, by gambling, whatever that addiction may be. And that's the way we tend to look at addiction. And countless studies have been drawn up to basically to understand why does someone become an addict? Is there a trait? Is there some sort of weakness? Is there something within them that leads them down that pathway that brings them to become addicted to the likes of alcohol? And so great studies have been done. You look at the issue of addiction and you begin to study it, and you'll soon find that there are all sorts of reasons that are given why someone would end up in addiction. For instance, peer pressure. Well, of course, we're all like our friends. And the Word of God speaks very, very clearly and carefully about friendship. And about the need to have right and good and proper friends. For instance, not angry friends. Not someone who's quickly given to wrath or to strife. And can I say that to this very day, that as a child of God, I always seek to carefully pick out friends. And the reason being is, we are all like the friends that we keep. And therefore, if we have a friend who, for instance, is critical or bitter or harsh in their words, you'll tend to find that you'll end up becoming like them. Rather, we want to have friends that build us up, that help us, that lead us on. Peer pressure. What about curiosity? Stated as one of the great factors why people end up in addiction. They're curious. They're curious about the effects. They want to sample it for themselves. You know, in all the years of working with people in addiction, I have never yet met someone who intended to be an addict. I mean, who would, in their right mind, choose out that pathway that would lead to hurt, to great harm and injury, and cause all sorts of personal and family distresses? No one in their right thinking would do that. And so they're curious. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 3. Just want to tie this in here, but Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 1. This is very important for us just to grasp this. I want to highlight this just in Genesis 3 verse 1, where we read, "Now the serpent, the devil, he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The very first thing that what's called the law of mention. You have in Scripture the first mention, then you have further mentions of the subject, then you have the final mention. And I remember learning this in Bible college, the first mention, oftentimes the Lord gives us an overview. He speaks very powerfully in a subject, the first mention. And just while we're on that first mention, can I say that the first mention of alcohol in Scripture has to do with Noah, it has to do with sin and with a curse. And that gives us an overview of what God says about the subject. But here in Genesis 3 verse 1, we find that the devil was more subtle. What does that mean? It means he's more cunning. He's more crafty. He is a master of deception. We look out today, don't we? And whether it's at home or in this land, and we see multitudes who are caught up in addiction, who become entangled, who become enslaved. Young people, some of the nicest, brightest, intelligent young people. Why is it? The devil is so subtle. It's only a cigarette. It's only a smoke of dope, cannabis, marijuana. It's only a glass of beer. No, it's not. For many, it is a start on the road to ruin. And the devil is so subtle. And of course, when you think of his subtlety here, he says to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." Eve, are you really sure God said it? And even if God did say it, does he really mean it? Now you'll find that the two go hand in hand. Here you have the subtlety of the devil, his enticement, his allurement, his ability, and the word of God. You see, the only way to overcome the subtlety of the devil, to overcome his enticement, is by the word of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus was saying in John chapter 8. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's God's word. Can I say that the program that I'm involved in and with down in Dublin, the Men's Home in New Hope, a program cannot change anybody. No matter how good, no matter how scripture, can't change anybody. It's only the Lord. And we tell the men time and time again, it is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that will make and set you free. There are lots of reasons given. Peer pressure, curiosity, social aspects such as deprivation, exposure to substances, all those sorts of... The list is just an exhaustive list. And yet, we have to conclude that either man in his search to understand addiction, he hasn't found the reason yet, or else he's completely missed the mark. And of course, the latter is reality. You see, the reality of addiction, getting to the very heart of the problem, is getting to the problem of the heart. That's the real issue. That is the real issue. In John chapter 8, we find that the Pharisees and the scribes, they really fail to grasp their own sinfulness, the reality of their own condition. They really fail to understand who they were as sinners before a holy God. They didn't recognize that they had a heart problem. They could look down on other people. In fact, they could very easily condemn. But the reality was that they were in the same condemnation, that they were lost, undone and unclean. But they didn't see it. They didn't see their need. Man, you see, by his very nature, is bound and fettered in addiction. By our very nature, we are sinners before God. We have that sin nature, that sin problem. We are sinners by birth, by nature. You think of how man is addicted to sin. As I said, addiction means to set forth, to determine, to order. A good definition for addiction is actually one found in Noah Webster's dictionary, his 1828 edition. And it's amazing whenever Noah Webster was writing and forming that dictionary, that U.S. dictionary, some nearly 200 years ago, that he said then, so here's a definition nearly 200 years ago, addiction is, quote, the act of devoting or giving up in practice, the state of being devoted. What does it mean to be addicted to something? It means that you are given over to it, that you are devoted to it. A man by his very nature is an addiction. He's an addiction to his sin, to his own lusts, his desires, to his own wants. You see, oftentimes we look at addiction and we tend to think, well, you know, that's the person who's caught up in drink, drugs, whatever. But the reality is that all of mankind is in addiction. What about the addiction to backbiting, jealousy, pride, anger? And the reality is that man, by his very nature, he is unable to free himself from his addiction to sin. He cannot break the chains. He can't set himself free. The family that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the household of Stephanas, we find that the Lord set them free and delivered them. Praise God, there is such a thing as freedom, liberty over addiction. The result, or the, should I say, the reality of addiction, it is a sin problem. And whenever I'm speaking to individuals and bringing the word to them, it's important to bring that reality that whilst they have a drug problem, the real problem is their heart. You see, it's not a matter of just dealing with the drugs and with those aspects. Because at the end of the day, you could have, for instance, an individual who had been using the likes of a drug like heroin, maybe for 10 years, and they get free from that addiction and they're no longer taking that drug. In fact, they're living quite a clean life. And yet the reality is they're still a sinner addicted to their sin, going to eternity without Christ. The reality. What about the result of addiction? There are many far-reaching consequences. You think of the body. You think of the mind. The body with its physical, psychological dependence. Over the years, I've watched individuals who've been crippled, literally, by their addiction. Of late, I was down in the men's home in Dublin. I went down for what I thought would be a quiet enough night. You're the only staff member there, so you're looking after 15 men, the majority of whom will have come through cold turkey and will be doing well. However, that night, I went into what's called the staff sleepover room. I put my head down. I was getting up early in the morning, so I needed to get some sleep. Then all I could hear was a fella next door, and he was running to the bathroom, backwards and forwards, just constantly, just continually. And to hear him, you know, being sick and all that. And I went into him just to speak to him. And they looked there at a frail, frail body, a man in his 40s, broken. And you could see there the effects and results of sin in his life. You see, it wasn't his drug addiction that had brought him to that point. It was his heart problem. Because the drugs are just the consequence, as it were. You go to the doctor and you have the flu. You may have the symptoms, which of course are the sore arms and legs and the sore head, and you generally feel unwell. But the cause of your condition is the flu virus. That's the cause. Results in the body. I've seen it over the years. Linda and myself just recently, now, I didn't mention, but my wife has agreed. She's actually given up her job. She's only 2 more days to work when we go home. And then she's coming out to work with me, not for me, with me. And she's going to be coming out to help in the ministry, to work with the girls, the ladies. Sadly, there are many, many of them who are caught up in addiction. And oftentimes, it's not just the individual. It's the family that feel the result. It's also the children, whether that is an unborn child, whose entrance into this world will be one of pain, in the sense that they're born into this world and they're born addicted to a substance. through no choice of their own. And my wife will be coming out to help in that work and labour of love, but of recent, we've been helping a young lady, a young girl. She's very young looking. She's in her late teens, but she wouldn't pass for, as we would say back home, she wouldn't pass for 13. She just looks like a child. Her body tells the life of addiction. Her arms, her physical makeup, composition. I know the first time that we met her, we both came away very heavy hearted. And we came away really touched by what we seen. A life ravaged by sin. And what really, in essence, what would it really matter to this world if a child, a young person like that died and went out into it? What would it really matter? And I can say it bothered us. It really troubled us. You could pray for that young girl. We're determined to reach out to help her. And whilst her condition is such that it would seem she's unreachable, we have a God who is able to do the impossible. And oftentimes the Lord would remind me of just where my life was at one time. And oftentimes when I'm working with addicts and I'm speaking to them, I'm seeking to reach out to them, the Lord would just remind me, now, do you remember? That was you at one time. That's what your life was like. And I tell you, friend, I tell you today, as God's people, I tell you, that encourages you to know real change is possible. Can I say it, as a church of Jesus Christ, that we have this great privilege of reaching out to those caught up in addiction. The results upon the body, physical, psychological. What about the results in the soul? Man bound in sin, headed toward eternity. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here in 2 Corinthians 4, we are reminded of our duty to take the gospel to those who are bound in sin. 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 3 we read here, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, if we don't proclaim the gospel, we are withholding it from those who really need it. Verse 3, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded. Now, it's not the eyes, but hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here we have the result. Man born into the world, bound, born in sin, he's blinded to the things of God. Man doesn't understand his need. He doesn't see his need. And there is a great attack upon the mind that man will remain in that condition. And so he's blinded. And the devil, of course, does not want that to change. He wants men and women to remain fettered, to remain chained. And so he will attack the mind. You think especially in an area where drugs work. Chemicals into the blood. Blood carries the chemicals to the brain. The way the brain works, the way the mind works, is changed. They are a powerful tool in the devil's hand. But can I say, an even greater tool is music. Music is a very powerful tool in the devil's hand. Man bound and fettered. And of course, he's lost in sin. If you're in our meeting today and you're not converted, you're not saved, the devil does not want you to hear the truth. He does not want you to embrace the truth. He does not want you to know freedom. He wants you to remain bound and fettered and chained. Lest the light, and I love this phrase, of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And there is a glorious thing. It's a glorious, wonderful thing to know the Lord. You think of the physical, psychological. You think of the spiritual effects. Man going out without hope into eternity, lost, undone and unclean. You think of fact on family and friends and finances and society and just so many ways that addiction affects and changes a person. In closing, I want to just think here of not only the very simply the reality and the results, but the remedy to addiction. Praise God, there is the remedy. It's not a self-help program. It's not a matter of rising above the occasion, feeling better about yourself, believing in yourself. Rather, it is freedom in Christ. I'm glad that as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we hold and we have the answer. That we look out on a lost and fallen world, and we see the ravaging effects of sin. We see the families that are being destroyed. We see lives that are headed toward everlasting ruin. But praise God, we have the answer. We have the remedy. That is in Christ. The Lord Jesus speaking said, "Ye shall know the truth." And of course, He is the truth. He not only said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Only one way to know God. Only one way to be reconciled to God. And Jesus said it was through Him. There is only one way of forgiveness. Only one way of freedom. And that is in and through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, there is freedom from the penalty and the power of sin. Man lost and undone, unclean, facing eternal ruin. Praise God, he's able to know freedom from his sin condition. I wonder, as we look out today, what are we seeking to do to reach out to those who are without? The house of Stephanas that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. Do you know what they were that really made the difference? And this is God's order and this is God's priority. They were first of all a blessing to the church, their local church. And that in turn impacted and made a difference in the lives of others. And the Lord would have it that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 15, Paul here writing was encouraging the Lord's people here as he draws this letter to the church at Corinth to a close. He encourages them. He says, think about the family of Stephanas. Now, I want you to think about who they are and what they've done and the blessing they've been. And Paul is basically saying, I want you to copy them. I want you to be like them. Notice what he says in verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and labours. So they were helpers in the work of God. They were labourers. They got behind the wheel. They put their shoulder to the plough. They were not afraid to get their hands dirty. They were those who were labourers and workers and helpers. You see, humanly speaking, addiction, natural addiction, man's sinful addiction, do you know what it is? It's selfish. It's very selfish. It's all about what I can get, what I can attain and have. That's the nature of addiction, sinful addiction. You'll find that oftentimes a family member will say, can they not just see the truth? Can they not just turn away from what they're doing? Don't they love us? Don't they care? But addiction is very selfish. But here we read about a family, and they're not selfish, they're selfless. It's not about what they can get, it's about what they can give. And can I say that there are so many ways that you and I, that we can be a help and a blessing in the work of God. Personal encouragement, you know, sending a card, making a phone call, telling someone they're missed, just being a practical help. You think of the ministry of prayer. Not just saying, I'm praying for you, but to actually pray. Why? Because prayer makes a difference. It moves the hand of God. Selfish, sinful addiction by its very nature is such that when a person wakes up in the morning, I think of a lad that I knew, or I do know, should I say, and many years ago he said to me, He said, you know, when I wake up in the morning, he says, I'm now conscious, I'm awake. But before I open my eyes, I'm already thinking, where am I getting the money for my drugs today? He said, before I open my eyes and my feet hit the floor, already I'm consumed by my addiction. Well, can I say here in 1 Corinthians 16, we read about a family who are converted by the grace of God, who know the reality and the result of addiction, who know the freedom that there is. And their addiction is now to the work of God and to the service of God. I can just imagine Stephanas and his family there, and there they are meeting, and they said, Lord, who can we help today? Who can we be a blessing to? Who can we encourage? Who can we help? How can we make a difference in our church? Notice what Paul said in verse 17. He said, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus. Notice what he did not say. He did not say, I am glad for the going. He said, Lord, I just want to thank you for this family here in the church. Lord, they've been such a blessing, such a help, such an encouragement. Lord, I want to thank you for them. It's your grace that has transformed them. This is a testimony of a life changed by the grace of God. Notice verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. And what Paul was saying was, be like them. Be a blessing in the church. You see, as we are a blessing in the church and we encourage and we support and we help each other, that has the effect that the Lord raises up evangelists and preachers, and the Lord raises up Sunday school teachers and children's workers to make a difference in the world. The order is important. We are reminded in God's word that we are to not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And as I said, addiction means to set in order, to determine to do something, to appoint to do something. We have to make it a point that we're going to encourage and help and bless others in the church. Christ is the remedy. Whether that is an addiction, to jealousy, pride, sinful living, drugs, gambling, whatever the addiction, there is only one remedy. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Will each of us determine we're going to make a difference in the lives of others? We're going to be like the house of Stephanas. We're going to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. And can I say, that ministry, that addiction to the ministry of the saints, was primarily and first of all out of a love for Jesus Christ. Just one verse I want to leave with you in closing. First, or should I say, it's in Hebrews chapter 6, in the verse 10. Hebrews 6, verse 10, where we read, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And notice the order, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You see, we reach out to help each other, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preeminent. He's before all. He's the reason why we seek to help within the church that will then impact a lost and fallen world. May God give us the grace to be more like our Savior, to have a heart of love and compassion, bowels of mercies, and to look out and desire to reach out. And let me encourage you, one of the greatest works that there is has been involved with the children and the youth. before they ever get to those things. Pray the Lord would save them early in life, preserve them, raise up young men and women who know and love God. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.